Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Welcome back. This is Tyler, and it's been a bit since I've been able to do this podcast. I've been super busy over the past few weeks, so I haven't had a weekend available to record. I've had my podcast lined up, but I just haven't had the opportunity to get back on here. It's good to be back. This is another one of the episodes where we're comparing Christianity and Islam, and we're going to continue talking about Jesus today. Like I said, the past few weekends have been pretty busy and hectic, and I just hadn't had time to record, but I'm finally back to being able to record and hopefully get some more stuff out there for you to look at and study. I really hope you guys are enjoying this topic and trying to learn as much as you can, so that as Christians we can be able to reach Muslims and draw them closer to God and the true Jesus, who is God, which is what we're going to talk about today. Again, I want to reemphasize, it's important to understand that the Quran teaches about Jesus, but it does not represent the true Jesus Christ or his teachings. The Jesus that is described in the Quran is not the same Jesus that is represented in the New Testament. So don't take the Quran for its word. Take the Gospels, take the eyewitnesses who actually live with Jesus, above everything else that says anything about Jesus. I'll be doing quite a bit of reading today, so I hope you have your Bible with you, so that you can read along with me. If you don't have your Bible with you when you're listening to this, then no worries. I'll be reading these for you. Just listen to the scriptures and try to follow along, because it's quite a bit today. I may have to break this episode into two separate episodes, depending on how long it is, just because it's a lot of information, but I'll see when it gets, as the episode progresses. So last time on the podcast, we talked about Islam's belief in Mary, their beliefs in that there was not a death of Jesus, an actual death, and the acknowledgement that Jesus is the Messiah. So if you want to hear about that, go back to our last episode and listen to it. And in the last episode, I read some verses from the Quran that signify that Jesus is not God. So today I'm going to go into detail of where the Bible identifies Jesus as God and where Jesus claims to be God despite the Islamic objections. Just to refresh on those pieces of the Quran, I'm going to read those real quick. So in Surah 4, verses 171 through 172, it says, "O people of the scripture, do not commit excess in your religion or say about Allah except the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was but a messenger of Allah, and his word, which he directed to Mary and a soul created at a command from him, so believe in Allah and his messengers, and do not say three, desist, it is better for you indeed. Allah is but one God, exalted is he above having a son. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth. Insufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. The Messiah would never be too proud to be a servant of God, nor would the angels nearest to Allah. Those who are too proud and arrogant to worship him will be brought before him altogether." And that talks about how that brings up the Trinity, how you should deny the Trinity, And it pretty much says that Jesus was a man and not God. This is reiterated in Surah 5, verse 75. It says, "The Messiah, son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Many messengers had come and gone before him. His mother was a woman of truth. They both ate food. See how we make the signs clear to them, yet see how they are deluded from the truth." These verses signify that Muslims do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. It says right there, he was no more than a messenger. And we talked about previously how they just categorize Jesus into the other prophets of old, Abraham and Ishmael and all of them in the Old Testament. So they don't recognize the deity and the divinity of Jesus Christ. The Quran states that because he ate food in that verse I just read and lived in an earthly body, he cannot be God. It even goes on further in Surah 5 to state that Jesus denies, the Quran says that Jesus denies divinity, which is not true. In Surah 5, verse 116, it says, on Judgment Day, Allah will say, "O Jesus, son of Mary, did you ever ask the people to worship you and your mother as gods besides Allah?" He will answer, "Glory be to you. How could I ever say that I had no right to say? If I had said such a thing, you would have certainly known it. You know what is hidden within me, but I do not know what is within you. Indeed, you alone are the knower of the unseen." So right there, it pretty much says that that Jesus will say to Allah that that he's not God, which I'm going to get into today about how Jesus is God. Okay, so we learn in John 1, obviously, this is from the book of John. We learn in John 1, verses 1 through 18, that Jesus is God and was God from the beginning. So, first point I'm going to talk about is Jesus is God from the beginning. In John 1, verses 1 through 18, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from all men, through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man, and that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Okay. And obviously we know that we can understand from these verses that Jesus is the Word that became flesh. And it says up at the beginning of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So right there, it explicitly states that that Jesus is God, and Jesus came in flesh, even though he's God. This is echoed in Jesus' prayer to the Father before his crucifixion. In John chapter 17, verses 4 through 5, it says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So Jesus essentially describes himself right here as a creator and with the Father from the very beginning. So Jesus claims right here to be God from the very beginning. I mean, before the world was, before the world was created. So there's no denying that Jesus claims to be with God from the beginning. Another verse that provides evidence that Jesus proclaimed to be God and to be all-knowing is in John chapter 8. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but I want you to go back and read the whole chapter. I'm just going to start in verse 31, and I'll read to the end of the chapter in verse 59. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 59 says, Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay, right there, Jesus is saying he can forgive sins. In verse 37, it says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus claimed unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceedeth forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are the father of the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was murdered from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said unto him, Now we know thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keepeth my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So the Jews knew at the end of this conversation, the Jews knew what Jesus was proclaiming to be. If you remember back in Exodus, Moses asked God in the burning bush, Moses asked God in the burning bush what the house of Israel should call him. And God replied, I am that I am. I'll read you that scripture real quick from Exodus. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, it says, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall they say unto them, The God of your fathers hath seen me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. And this is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. In verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. They questioned him of his identity, and Jesus relays this to them by saying, Before Abraham was, I am. Signifying that Jesus is saying, I am. It says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, it says, this is my name forever. The Jews understood what he was saying. They understood that he was saying that I am God. I am the same God that was in the Old Testament that spoke to Moses. And if the Jews didn't understand this, they wouldn't have picked up stones to try to stone him. And so they recognized that Jesus was proclaiming to be God, was saying that the reason he knows all this is because he's God. He was the same one in the bush. It's even the Jews understood what Jesus was saying. But people try to manipulate these scriptures to say that Jesus was saying something else. But no, Jesus is proclaiming to be God. However, this wouldn't be the first time that the Jews sought to stone Jesus for blasphemy. In John chapter 10, the Jews take up stones again to cast at him. Let's read John chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. I told you there's going to be a lot of reading today just because I want to get these scriptures out to you so that you can study them and look at them and really understand where Jesus claims to be God. John chapter 10, verses 24 through 39, it says, Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Notice he says, any of them pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus right here makes himself equal with the Father. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou hast been a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into this world. You blasphemous, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of the Father, believe me not, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of his hand. So right here we see that that Jesus equates himself with the Father, by proxy making himself equal to the Father, and therefore claiming to be God. I'm gonna show a quick video, real quick. Let me unmute.
For anyone who says, where does Jesus say he is God? Verse 30, John 10, 30. No one can take anything from my Father's hand. God is the Father. And then in verse 30, I, Jesus, and my Father are one. Who can dare to say, I and the Father are one? And not only that, we are one. He put himself before the Father. He didn't say, my Father and I. No, I and the Father are one. If he was a prophet, can a prophet dare to say, I and God are one? Impossible. But the Lord said it. Why? Because he is God. I and the Father are one.
So right there, that's Bishop Mari Mari in his sermon talking about how, again, how Jesus claims to be God by making himself equal with God. Again, Jesus makes himself equal to the Father, essentially saying he's part of the Trinity. And the Jews seek to kill him because there's no mistaking that he was expressing his divinity. There's no mistaking, because the Jews tried to persecute him because he proclaimed to be God. We saw it back in John chapter 8, verse 59, and now we see it again in John chapter 10 at the end of it. So in those, Jesus claims to be God, and the Jews try to persecute him. That's further proof that they knew what Jesus was talking about. After Jesus heals the blind man on the Sabbath day, kind of moving to somewhere else right here, but this is going to be back in John chapter 5. After Jesus heals the blind man on the Sabbath day, the Jews wanted to persecute him. And then he then explains again his deity alongside the Father, making himself equal again with God. In John chapter 5, verses 14 through 24, and this is right after he heals the blind man on the Sabbath day. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Again, this goes back to Jesus was present in the beginning. That's what we talked about. So where he says the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, he had been present with the Father aforetime, before all of this. So he's seen the Father and communicated with the Father for eternity. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, he also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quicketh whom he will. Again, this is saying the Father does this, and so does the Son. Again, equating himself with the Father. For the Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall come into condemnation, but it is passed from death unto life. I really like how in verse 23, Jesus says, men should honor the Father, even as they honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. This essentially means that Jesus says that they should worship him as they worship the Father. We read earlier in the Quran in Surah 5, verse 116, that Jesus will say in the last day that that he told people not to worship him. Here in the Gospel of John, this Jesus explicitly states to honor him as you would honor the Father. The Greek word for honor in this text is timeo. I hope I'm saying that right. But the Greek word for honor in this text is timeo, which means to revere or take value in. This is a big contradiction between the beliefs of the Quran and the Bible, because one says Jesus will not say to worship him. Here in verse 23, Jesus says to worship him in the gospel. Like I said, it makes one have to decide between which is right, what's said in the Quran or what's said in the Bible. One's forced to pick which one must be true. Personally, and Christians, we lean on the Bible because it's the eyewitness accounts of those who walk with Jesus. It's those people who ate with Jesus, that lived with Jesus, that are documenting this live, and can see it with their own eyes and listen with their own ears what Jesus is saying. I choose to believe that rather than the supposed vision of Muhammad that lived 600 years after Jesus' death, who never met Jesus, who had never walked with Jesus, who had never heard Jesus speak. So it again goes back to what do you trust more? Do you trust the vision of Muhammad, or do you trust the eyewitness accounts of Jesus? The Gospels are a lot like history. I mean, these people have written these things down of what Jesus has done and instances and stuff that Jesus has done. Should we take that to heart, or should we take a supposed vision that somebody had? And we talked about the reliability of the vision earlier in the past episodes, but in the next episode we're going to get, or I don't know if it'll be the exact next episode or another one down, but we're going to get more into the Quran and why it's not as reliable as the New Testament and the Old Testament. But you have to choose which one you're going to believe, because they contradict each other. They don't work together. I choose to believe in the Bible and the eyewitnesses, where Jesus explicitly states that this happened, and there's people there who are documenting it in the moment. We also see many instances in the Bible where people worship Jesus, and not once does he tell them not to worship him. Jesus was never one to shy away from reproving people and telling them to sin no more and don't do these things. So if it was wrong for them to worship him, he would have told them not to, so they wouldn't sin. I mean, he's trying to guide people and show people the truth. I mean, he's not going to allow somebody to continue to sin. He will point out where they're wrong about something. So when these people worship him in the Bible, he doesn't tell them not to worship him. And that's further evidence that that what is said in Surah chapter 5, verse 116 is not true. That he would tell them not to worship him because he doesn't do that in the Bible. Thomas even calls Jesus in John chapter 28, he calls him my Lord and my God. So there's a signifying that Jesus is God among believers and among people in the New Testament. And there's a common belief among many Muslims that we shouldn't trust the word of the apostles. So like what I read at the beginning of John chapter 1, where John is writing this down, they believe that many of the apostles were fooled into believing that Jesus is God. I read some verses last week about how the Quran says that that the people that believed Jesus was God were deceived. So they don't trust the words of John or the words of the other disciples. However, like we talked about today, I mean, Jesus explicitly states that he's God. If you don't believe in the disciples and the apostles, but you revere Jesus, why don't you take his words? Why don't you listen to what Jesus himself says about him being God and expressing these different things? sorry, I just heard my dog bark. But if you don't trust the disciples, you can trust your prophet that you exalt in the Quran and that you see high and lift it up, unless you want to ignore his sayings about him claiming to be God, like the verses that we talked about today. I mean, John chapter 8, verses 58, John 10, verse 30, John 5, verse 17. I mean, Jesus clearly equates himself with the Father and claims to be God. And these are some good verses to write on the tables of your heart so that you can be able to reach somebody that's Muslim, so that you can show them, hey, Jesus actually does claim to be God, even though your Quran says he would never do that. So these are important verses, just because Muslims don't take the words from the disciples as truth, but Jesus actually says these things. So it's good to know where Jesus explicitly states that he is God, so that you can show them, hey, Jesus says this. I'm going to show another video real quick.
By definition, Jesus was a Muslim.
Of course.
Jesus was 100% a Muslim, and there's nothing you can do to defend against this.
Islam thinks that Jesus is just another prophet of Allah. In fact, I've heard Muslim apologists in public say that
Jesus was a Muslim.
Buddhists, what do you think they say about Jesus? Jesus was a Buddhist. We have this idea of messengers or of spiritual people, and Jesus is one of those. So we're not going to say he's just a normal guy. We're going to give him spiritual status, but we'll put our framing upon him. I would encourage anyone who thinks, you think Jesus is a Buddhist or he's a Muslim or he's just a great spiritual leader and a nice moral reformer, is go read the words of Jesus yourself. He doesn't let you interpret him that way. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, after saying the things that Jesus said, he's either Lord or he's a liar or he's a lunatic. But don't just say he's a nice guy. We have this human tendency to reinterpret Jesus to fit into whatever box we would like him to fit into. And that's what Mark is keeping it from happening here.
So I like what he said. Jesus leaves no room for interpreting him as something different. Jesus doesn't allow room for interpreting him as not God in these verses that I read earlier. But Islam and other religions that were mentioned, and even some people's personal beliefs, like you mentioned earlier, is they try to frame Jesus into their own mindset and fit him into their own religion to make it work with them. But Jesus does not affiliate himself with the other religions, with the other ideals, the Gnostic religions, so take Jesus. This is my word to Muslims as well as Christians who are trying to reach Muslims. Use Jesus' words to be able to show people what Jesus actually claims to be. Too many people try to fit Jesus into their own religion and their own mindset or what they think Jesus really is. But take him at his word. I like what it says in John chapter 14, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This is Jesus saying he's the only way to God, not what's mentioned in the Quran, not what's mentioned in Buddhist doctrine and Hindu doctrine and stuff like that. But Jesus is the only way. Take him at his word of what he claims to be and what he says. That'll be it for this episode, but I'm going to continue on this a little bit next episode. One thing I'm going to talk about in the next episode is how the Quran even unknowingly admits that Jesus is God. And we will get back to that in the next episode. And I think that's going to be really good to listen to and to... that's going to be really good to listen to and to be able to see how the Quran contradicts itself on what they believe Jesus is. And it kind of unknowingly admits that Jesus is God. And so I really hope you tune in and listen to that, because I think it's going to be pretty interesting. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, and I hope you keep listening, and I hope you're finding this beneficial in trying to learn a little bit. I mean, I don't think I'm that great of a teacher, but I'm just trying to get what I've studied and what I've learned out there so that somebody else might can use it to help somebody. Jesus has already showed me, and the Spirit has already led me to do this, and he's showed me why already. So I know this is not in vain. I mean, if this is just for me, it's well worth it. But I hopefully somebody else can listen and can grow closer to God and can help somebody who's a Muslim. So until next time, I'm signing out. All right. Thank you. I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul.
body but Jesus.